America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A special treat for you. It's Inside Access. Ken Wyman, Jason Lockenfour, and Tim Barbalace.
And it's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 in D.C., our first ever live Beltway crossover. Two stations, one conversation about the game of the NFL weekend.
So let's start with that. This Lamar Jackson versus Jaden Daniels. Surprisingly, Craig, the Commanders, they come into this game with the better record. How the heck did your football team have a rookie QB go 4-1?
Turns out starting 55 games in college, not really having to go into class your senior year a whole lot because you're a fifth-year senior who's graduated, turns out you can be pretty good as a rookie. Historically great, even. This Jaden Daniels kid, pretty good, guys. I don't know if that's made its way up the Beltway.
Oh, no, it definitely has. He's done a great job of covering up, I think, a defense that probably has a fair number of warts. And here they are this week facing an offense that's as potent running and passing the ball as Washington's. What is the level of concern with the talent on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I would say it's a lot less than it was 3 weeks ago. They've played a lot better the last couple of weeks. I mean, as you guys well know in the division, the Browns are an absolute affront to football. So yeah. They obviously were seeing a defense play against them last week that you're like, how much of this is Cleveland? How much of this is Washington? But they're a lot tighter in their blitzes. They're a lot stickier in coverage. I'm curious, to me, the game flow in this one is so interesting. Can Washington shut down Baltimore's run game, or at least slow it enough that Jaden can keep up? You know, obviously, they haven't had to chase a game all year. And so, to me, that's the big thing in this one is, how does Washington's defense play against Baltimore's run game? And do they follow a similar model as Cincinnati? I would assume they do something like that. If they do, what's your confidence level in Lamar to put on a similar explosive-type performance in the air that he did last week? Or do you think that they'll just be able to run it anyway?
I mean, I think that they'll have success on the ground with
I think they can pick and choose.
Yeah, because with the Commanders giving up 5.1 yards per carry, and they really haven't been tested a ton on the ground because they're scoring so many points, highest scoring offense in football. I think Derrick Henry could have a good game.
Yeah, no, that scares the bejesus out of me. Is does Henry have 200 yards? And it's weird because they've given up a ton of explosives, but they also have a decently high stuff rate. So they'll give up a 30-yarder and then -2, and all of a sudden you're in 2nd and 12, and you might be on the edge of field goal range, but 2nd and 12 isn't where you want to live. And then I think the other part of that is the Baltimore pass defense, we all know they're ranked 31st in the league. Is that an actual concern, or is that nature of they've been up in some games and teams are trying to hit them?
They just brought Dean Pease back.
Yeah. To be a consultant. Right out of retirement for the fourth time.
It's a concern.
And look, we were talking all offseason about the potential of this secondary, the back end, because they did historic things with this defense last year. You know, number one in the league in takeaways, sacks, points per game. But they've been getting up a ton of explosive plays through the air.
Is that something that, like, is that a personnel issue, some of the guys that left, or is that a they're still trying to figure out the Mike McDonald replacement?
There you go.
Yeah, the brain, not only McDonald, but Denard Wilson's defensive coordinator in Tennessee now, Anthony Weaver's defensive coordinator in Miami. We like to call it a brain drain that has occurred. And Zach Orr, is he could be great at some point, but what's he, 34 years old? First 32? Time he's ever called 32, first time he's called plays.
I mean, it worked for McDonald.
It did not right away.
Not until they got Roquan Smith.
Yeah, go look at that Miami game year one for Mike McDonald.
Yeah, Buffalo game or
Fair enough. I know Roquan's been I've heard his name like bantied about in terms of struggling a little bit more this year. Is that like? I guess the question I'm trying to get at is like, okay, the pass ranking we know is bad. They're 31st in the league. There's only 32 teams. As someone who hosts a radio show here in Washington, I'm very familiar with that part of defensive and offensive rankings, frankly. but is it the back end? Is it a lack of pressure? Is it those two things not marrying up? Like, if you're Cliff Kingsbury going into this week, what is the thing that you were trying to exploit that so many others have?
Well, the middle of the field has been open for business against this Ravens team. They've given up some of the most passing yards over the middle of the field, but also the most air yards. I mean, deep plays, there's been a lot of miscommunication on that side. I mean, Roquan, is he being asked to do too much in this defense? Obviously, Patrick Queen not here from last year. Trenton Simpson's a young player that's kind of been exposed a little bit here. I think it's a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's not any one thing, right? Like, they've allowed 19 completions on 24 passes between the hash marks. They allowed 35 all of last season. Struggle to cover backs on little wheel routes and checkdowns. Like, it could be a day for Robinson to do some of that. They've given up a ton of yards downfield outside the numbers on balls that are 25 yards or deeper through the air. They've had communication breakdowns where not everybody understands exactly what the assignment is and what coverage they're in, and that's given, you know, free runners to Xavier Worthy for a walk-in touchdown. Last week, they couldn't defend a bubble screen when they blitzed against Joe Burrow, and he is Joe Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase goes 70 yards on a screen. Like, they give 170 yards of yak last week. Like, tackling is also an issue. Like, it's really all the above. It's really all the above. From your standpoint, because you mentioned pass rush, and Kyle Van Noy went off for 3 weeks, but the edge rushers outside of him haven't been consistent. Matabike will wreck a game from inside. Have you guys done a 180 on your offensive line? Like, how good do you think that five-man unit is, and how much of this is the combination of a unicorn quarterback and Kingsbury scheme and a three-headed rushing monster?
Well, I chuckle, Jason, because it is – you know, I have not done 180, but a lot of people have, because I was screaming to anyone who would listen last year that this line, personnel-wise, was not nearly as bad as the statistics were. Mm-hmm. And you had an offensive coordinator who was committing malpractice weekly with a young quarterback who was not very good at diagnosing pressure and understanding where the ball needed to go. Now you have a young quarterback who absolutely is phenomenal at that. He's getting the ball out incredibly quick, combined with a play caller who both is calling plays in a way that makes rushing difficult and is insulating an offensive line when he does need to drop back and pass. And they're only doing that, you know, 5 to 10 times a game, true drop back versus screens and RPOs and all these other things, where they're not afraid to use chip help. Like, they're not going to put Jaden Daniels back behind exposed five-man protections. Mm-hmm. And they're going to make sure they're not easily manipulated. Like, if you want to understand how to easily manipulate protection, go watch what the Washington defense did to the Cleveland Browns last week. Their protection plan, to call it a plan, is insulting to plans. Like, it's so easy. There was a play in the first quarter last week where they blitzed. It was a simulated pressure. So they send four guys against a five-man protection. And the way Cleveland's got it set up, they slide away from the blitz. And so 4-on-5, they cut Dorrance Armstrong, a defensive end, completely loose. So Cliff Kingsbury, he doesn't do stuff like that. They make sure we're chipping Myles Garrett, for instance, last week. They will chip and send help, and their backs do a great job in pass pro blocking, specifically Jeremy McNichols, their third back, who's come in and had a couple of big ones. And then Austin Eckler has been just outrageously good at everything this year. An incredible bounce back year for him. So I think it's a combination of the things, which if you pay attention league-wise, I know you guys do, like, that's how it is for everyone. It's sacks are a quarterback stat, not an offensive line stat. This line can do certain things really well. They move well. They run block well. So asking them to drop back pass block is a recipe for a disaster. So they just don't do it.
We're doing a crosstalk here, 105.7 The Fan and 980 in D.C. I am curious, where are the fans on this, Craig? Have they fully bought in any PTSD because of the RG3 situation from years ago where he looked great for a few weeks and then Haloti Ngata kind of leg whips him and he's never the same? Like, have the fans totally bought in? And obviously the last year for you guys, for Commanders fans, new ownership, the stink of Dan Snyder finally gone. Where are the fans in all this?
Yeah, I would say it's yes to all of the above. There is still a little bit of apprehension, but this is the most significant speed bump left, if you will, on that road. I think here fans believe if we can compete, I'll use we just for simplicity of language. Please don't take away my journalism degrees here. If we can compete with you guys, if we can compete with the Baltimore Ravens, a model of consistency, a model of really, frankly, excellence over the last two decades of the NFL, then that means we can really think about being in that class. That, wow, the ownership change really did make that much of a difference. Wow, we might have our guy at quarterback in the same way that you have yours in Lamar. Even if it hasn't ended in Lombardi's yet, like, he's a two-time MVP. That's what you want. You want to be in that mix. And I think people still look at what happened with Robert. I will tell anyone that will listen, like, they are two completely different humans, and that is going to make all of the difference. But he's a mobile quarterback who runs around, and it's very exciting, and this feels a little familiar. And then I do think that, you know, people are starting to understand the difference in the ownership. And I'll tell you a very quick story in your audience. A couple weeks ago, after they won against Cincinnati on Monday night, the Commanders went straight to Arizona and set up shop in Arizona for the entire week, something that had to cost, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands. I don't know if that cost $1 million to move a football operation across the country for an entire week, like all their equipment, hotel rooms for everybody, 100-plus person staff the whole week. And Josh Harris was like, oh, that you need to do that to win? Sweet, let's do it. And he paid for it. And that kind of stuff, on top of the lack of a horrible place to go to work every day, smarter people being around, those are the kinds of things that are starting to already convince people that it is very different.
Craig, what about the here and now? I mean, could this team end up winning the NFC East?
It's a crappy division.
I think what you just added on at the end is a relevant plot point. I don't think the Eagles are very good. I think they're a mess. I think the Cowboys are questionable at best, and the Giants are the Giants, which means every time you think that they're dead, they go do something silly like beat Seattle, but they're still not any good. So in that regard, and they're already 4-1, like, that's a pretty good starting point. Yeah, they can win the division. It's unheard of to, like, make the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, and I still have enough questions about the talent on offense, about defensively, where, you know, can they hold it together against better operations. But I do think that I certainly believe they can compete with anybody on any given Sunday. And I'll wrap things up by asking you guys, like, you know, Baltimore, they obviously sneak a win out. They get the help of a bad snap in overtime and all the other things that go right. But hey, they won, and ultimately y'all are having a good season up there. And I think we know that if your team is around in the end, like, they're going to be a pain in the butt in the playoffs. But in the here and now, how nervous are Ravens fans about Jaden Daniels coming to town and putting up another 300-yard day and leading all the highlight reels on Sunday night?
Expect to be a shootout.
Yeah, I'm on the over. I mean, that might be chalky in public, but 52.5 ain't scaring me off in this one. No, I think the Ravens win this game for a lot of, you know, obvious reasons, including the institutional knowledge and, you know, them being at home and how early in the program it is there. But I don't know about them covering. I think it's going to be a ball game.
Yeah.
What about you? Who are you predicting to win this thing?
I will probably take Baltimore by the end of it. I have a big question about, like, the intensity, right? Like, the Ravens have played in these kinds of games against Mahomes and against Burrow, and what it means to, like, have Nance and Romo up in the booth and be the game that everyone's watching. That is new for almost everybody here. I do think Jaden Daniels doesn't give anything about that. Like, he's convinced that all the stuff he went through at LSU, Alabama, and all that kind of stuff, like, is just as big. And I don't know that he's wrong on, like, LSU, Alabama on a Sunday night in Baton Rouge. So I think that he doesn't care, but it is a big stage for a lot of these guys. And I wonder if this is a huge learning point for them. And that's the one thing about their loss this year. Dan Quinn came out of that loss against Tampa in week 1, was like, that's fine as long as we learn the lessons. I wonder if this is a lessons game ultimately for Washington, and that later in the season, and, you know, if they're they're in the playoffs for the next whatever number of years with Daniels, that they look back at this game and be like, that was the game where we learned how to win. But they might lose it this weekend, if that makes sense.
Craig Hoffman, this was fun, man. Thank you so much for doing this. We enjoyed it.
Enjoy the game.
Yeah, Jason, Ken, Tim, great to be with you guys. Appreciate you doing it, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks so much. Hey, coming up next.
All right, coming up next here on The Hoffman Show. That was a blast. Really appreciate those guys doing that. Live on our sister station up in Baltimore, and of course, both stations. If you want more Ravens coverage, you can check them out on the free Odyssey app. When we get back here on the Team 980, a little bit more from Dan Quinn, and then the fun ends for me because it's Competition Wednesday, and your boy did not have a good week.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony, what did I tell you about playing this song before the end of the show? You can't do this to me. This is a song that belongs at the end of a set.
You want to know why I play this song?
Why is that?
I thoroughly enjoy the crossover talk between you, Jason, Ken, Tim.
And you want more?
And I wanted more. That's
so
all.
So you want an encore?
Yes, please.
Do you want more?
Encore. Cooking, encore. Raw, encore.
With the Beltway boys?
You said what?
No. Nothing. That's not happening again. You talk over it. It's lost forever.
That was good, though.
Just over here drinking water. That was fun. I enjoyed doing that. It's something that we want to do a couple more times this season. It's fun that we get to do it with our Beltway brethren here to get our crossover season started. But I also think, if I'm being honest, Anthony, people are going to want to do that more with us because it's... Like, sometimes when your team's really good that you cover or really bad, or I should say when your team's really bad, you don't even bother worrying about the opponent. Like, what's the point? Like, at the end of last season, did y'all really care, like, what was going on with the insert team here? No, because you didn't really care that much about the game. It was just another excuse to watch your team get their brains beaten in and figure out how fast that someone was going to get fired. And we kept telling you, like, Rivera's going to make it to the end of the year. He did. And then, see ya. And Del Rio didn't make it that far. So that was something. But now, like, these games matter a whole lot. I mean, even next week, the Panthers stink. You know what we're going to do? We'll probably find someone who covers the Panthers. Because I want to understand what they are and who they are and what they do. And because I want the Commanders to go out and put on a big old 35-burger performance and win, act like a team that belongs in the top conversations around the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see happen. And so in order to do that, we want to understand the opponent. If it's Commanders-Panthers in Week 13 and both teams are 2-10, they'd be played 12 games, and then they'd be in Week 13.
That's good math.
Actually, probably 2-9 because it could probably be in bye week by then.
Well, it used to have late bye, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So this year, I think they have a Week 13 bye. The point is, we probably wouldn't have a Carolina expert on because they would stink and we would stink. But now, all these teams are going to be like, hey, even if their team's bad, they're going to be like, hey, you were bad last year. How'd you get good? I want that as a science experiment for my team. So I think as we go through the schedule for the rest of the year, let's pull it up. I got it in my head for at least a couple of weeks here. But obviously, we just talked to our friends in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
So, fine. I've already been asked to come on a Panther show next week. So I'm excited for that. My guy, Anish Shroff, it's like their team official show. Because he's their play-by-play guy, and he asked me to do something, so I'm excited for that. So I've already gotten requests, and if not, more coming from Charlotte. Chicago, I'm sad that my guy Danny Parkins, I'm going to have to find someone else to talk to, because Danny's doing Breakfast Ball on Fox Sports 1 now. Big, silly superstar, making TV money. Good for him. But I'm sure that we'll have a crossover with our friends at 670 The Score. WFAN, they live in their own little bubble up in New York, so we probably won't do anything with the Giants folks, but maybe Tiki Barber will want to talk. That's who does afternoons up there. We know their producer. Well, probably if they don't want to do something live, then maybe we'll just have Sean on, because he's hilarious.
Yeah.
So there's that. I would say there's a near 100% chance that we do something, whether it's live or whether we just have our guy Andrew Filippone on from Pittsburgh. Love Pony. Philly, maybe. Depends on what kind of mood they're in. As long as no one throws a battery at me. Just kidding. I love you, Philadelphia. You have great sandwiches. Dallas. Yeah, we'll probably do something with that. Our pals down in Dallas.
Dallas is fun, man.
Yeah. They also have the show that's on 105.3, G-Bag Nation, our show. I used to know those guys, or some of those guys, because there's like seven dudes on that show. That does feel a bit uneven. It's going to have to be me representing the district, and then they got like 17 people on that afternoon show.
So you feel like you're getting jumped, sort of, kind of?
I wouldn't say jump, but it's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Maybe we'll just tape something with them, or have like Sean or RJ on from their morning show.
Yeah.
That feels more fair. But perhaps we'll do something. They're going to want to talk. I'll put it that way. That's for sure. Where'd the schedule go? Over here. Tennessee, are the folks in Nashville going to care by December what their team's doing?
No.
The Saints, they're always crazy. I'll probably wind up doing something in New Orleans. I know some folks down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can ask me questions about the Commanders. I'll ask them questions about the about what sandwiches I should eat if I go down there. Anthony, what are the chances that if the Commanders are really good that we can take a class field trip down to New Orleans in December?
That would be a lot of fun. I love New Orleans.
I do too. I know someone who would host us.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know some people down there too.
Yeah. One of the really fine restaurants down there, the general manager is a former DC guy who is a listener to the station / the stations.
What's it called?
It's Brennan's, which is like one of the best restaurants in the world.
Say no more.
So, might
say
have
no
to
more.
Talk to Christian about that. Hey, can we, do our stupid show from your fancy restaurant?
That would be lit.
That'd be fun. G&D have done it before. These guys have had their fun. Let us have some fun. But I think folks in New Orleans are probably going to want to do something. Then we could just be like, hey, come down to Brennan's. We can do the crossover in person. Eagles, again, depends on how they're feeling. Falcons, we got some friends in Atlanta. And that could be a huge game. So we definitely could do crossover December 29th with the Falcons. And then the Cowboys, again, like, we'll see where that goes. Man, if that's like a win and end game, we might have to go down to Dallas.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Covered a lot of games in that stadium.
A lot of fun.
Been a while. Food's pretty good.
Really?
In the press box? Yeah.
I would hope so.
Have we not talked about that? How many times Jerry Jones has fed me Thanksgiving? Not personally, but theoretically.
Oh, because of the press box food?
Yeah, press box food on Thanksgiving in Dallas, they do it right.
Some good turkey?
Yeah. Stuffings, casseroles, mac and cheese, the whole deal.
You need it, man.
Yeah, gots to. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. I think a lot of people are going to want to talk to us. I think if they win this weekend, some of your favorite radio personalities, perhaps, that you see around, some mm-hmm. of them might wind up on national TV next week. I don't know if that's going to be me, but like, people are going to want to talk about this team.
Yep.
It's already happening. So could be fun. All right, here's what we got for the rest of the show here on the Team 980. We will hear much more from Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn coming up at 6 o'clock. in our pick six. 6:30 following that, we have Clint Yates, who has questions for me about the Commanders, as always, but also I have a question for him. Speaking of, actually, Anthony, I just had an idea. I'm going to ask Clinton at 6:30. I hope he doesn't get mad at me for doing this. I'm going to ask Clinton at 6:30 how many wins the Commanders need to get before he invites me on ESPN Daily.
Oh, right on the spot.
This is one of my best friends in the whole planet.
Uh-huh.
He hosts a big, giant daily national podcast. He's going to be talking about this team. How long till I get to come on?
Is his show daily?
That is the premise of ESPN Daily, yes.
Okay. Now, that's...
You think that is a joke when we say it every week? ESPN Daily, which is available
daily.
Yeah, that's not a joke. I mean, it is. It's a bit. It's not a joke.
Yeah.
So how long till I get to be on ESPN Daily if the Commanders, especially like if they win this weekend, can I come on ESPN Daily next week?
These are the questions we need answers to, correct?
Hardcore journalism coming up at 6:30. We're going to ask Clinton to his face. So that's coming up at 6:30.
Is that the first or last question?
I'm thinking I'm going to ask him first.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And he'll probably ask me a bunch of questions, but that's fine. It's a good time. We'll talk to Clinton coming up at 6:30. Coming up next, all this fun happiness comes to an end for me because it's Competition Wednesday and I have to spin the stupid wheel again. Shut up, Anthony. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We got the three shot set up, Ant.
Yes, sir.
That is the wheel of mediocre punishment.
So beautiful.
That taunt me. See how that goes. Your record is so stellar over the course of time.
Oh, it is not.
Go ahead. Just try to... Go ahead. Say what you want to say.
Sometimes,
like it ain't going to come back around at some point.
Hey, look, the tables do turn. And they turn fast, you know?
Yeah. Also a lot meaner when I talk smack than you are. I will hurt your feelings.
Greg, all I'm going to tell you is... It feels good to finally be on this side of the fence, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. It's Competition Wednesday here on the Hoffman Show. We compete in three games head to head. We pick three games against the spread. We pick a fourth head to head just in case as a tiebreaker, and we will now review how that went from last week. And then we will spin the wheel, whoever lost. I think you probably can get the sense of who lost already. And then we'll pick more games for next week. So, last week, Anthony, I decided to pick, for some reason known to no one, the Las Vegas Raiders. They were 2.5-point dogs against the Denver Broncos. And honestly, this had potential into the second half. It was 13-10 at halftime. Hey, Raiders, just keep it close in the second half. Nope. They get worked 21-8 in the second half. 34-18 was the final. And that's 0-1 for your boy.
Ah, that hurts, man. That hurts. My first game that I chose was the Colts +3. And the Colts made it interesting in the second half. Joe Flacco, he had like 2 65-yard bombs to Alec Pierce to like really make the game interesting, tie it up. But Jacksonville got the last laugh. They went in there with a walk-off field goal. So this game ended up being a push for me.
Oh, so I'm 0-1 after one. You're 0-0-1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that as the wheel just looms behind me. I'm not going to lie, Anthony, because I had so much trouble picking games last week. I literally didn't know what games I wanted to pick.
Yeah.
The one game I could remember was that I picked Dallas +2.5 against Pittsburgh. Mm. Obviously, Dallas goes down late. They survive absolute disaster at the goal line when Dak Prescott leaps on the fumble. On fourth down, they score. Dallas wins and thus covers fairly easily at that point. So I, through two games, am 1-1-0. And how did you do in your second game?
My second game, I had the Packers -3. The Rams made this one interesting. Jordan Love threw a pick from his like 2-yard line, pick six. So that made things interesting, but in the end, they end up being able to pull it out, and they end up winning by five. So I am now 1-0-1. Packers, -3.
All right, and then I had the Buffalo Bills, -1. If Sean McDermott just didn't do the dumbest possible things at the end of this game, then at least maybe I get to overtime.
Yeah.
I should have at least gotten overtime, Anthony. So the fact that the Bills lost by 3, and thus I lose by 4, if you will, like, if they get to overtime and they kick a field goal and win, I win. I actually don't feel that bad about that pick.
Nope.
I do feel bad about the result of that pick because that doesn't help me at all. I still lost, but at least from a process standpoint, it wasn't the craziest thing. Although I also think that probably that game should have been worse.
Yeah, it should have been. It should have been.
Well, I lost anyway.
Yep, because my last game was the Commanders -3, and we all know how that went. Yeah. They put belt to butt Sunday afternoon, and that concludes my Wednesday pick. So I went 2-0-1, and then also I think I would have got the tiebreaker as well.
You would have. I decided Carolina +4 was worth investing in as a tiebreaker. They lost by 16. No, yeah. Sorry. They lost by 26.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Andy Dalton.
Talk
Never
about...
trusted Ginger again.
Yeah. Ooh. That's harsh.
Yeah. Well, you got a 4-point line and lose by 26. Sometimes it'd be like that. Yeah. Okay. So, that sucks. I finish... I don't have a pen today. There's a pen. That's a 1-2-0. You were 2-0-1.
Yes, sir.
I do believe that means this wheel behind me is behind me for a reason, and that reason is I have to spin the wheel of mediocre punishment.
Uh-oh.
As a reminder, here are the stakes. We make it mediocre punishment because it's Well, we do this every week, and if we did something terrible every single week, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
So, it's mediocre punishment. Last week, I had to do 100 push-ups. Telling you right now, if I got to do 100 push-ups again, I don't think they're getting done by the end. I'm not doing it the way I did it last week. I'm willing to do it in a half-hour segment. I just want to prepare myself. So, like, tomorrow, I think I would probably do it. Okay. Or I could do it next Wednesday. But my body hurts right now, bro. I don't feel like doing 100 push-ups.
I bet it would. I don't blame you.
Or do I just have to do it, and that's kind of the way the cookie crumbles?
Yeah, I think you just got to do it.
Son of a gun. Okay, so 100 push-ups. That's what I had to do last week. There's also a fantasy sub. That is what I got to do for Anthony when he lost in week 2, where I got to go into his fantasy lineup, so he would get to go into mine and make any sub. I have no power or control over that. He just gets to say, hey, that's your fantasy lineup for this week. Sorry, sucker. It says extra hot wings. It's not supposed to say extra hot wings.
Mm-mm.
It's supposed to be like pretty hot wings. Mango habanero level if you're a B-dubs fanatic. So we can figure out that, but it's 5 very hot wings. An ice bath, you got to go 3 minutes?
It was 3 minutes.
3 minutes in an ice bath. Buy the other person lunch. And then last but not least, the costume show where we say for a show, is the show too much? I kind of feel like it should be a costume hour. That's more in line with the mediocre punishment.
Okay. That's more reasonable, I guess.
Yeah. So next Wednesday during the 5 o'clock hour, you'd have to wear a silly disguise, the glasses and the nose and the mustache thing, which we can get on Amazon, I presume, by next Wednesday fairly easily because I can get almost anything delivered to my house by 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Because that's the world we live in. Okay, time to spin the wheel. Anthony, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Make it a good one, man.
Okay,
uh-oh.
Hold on.
Sorry, we have to adjust the wheel because it's caught on the chair that it's sitting on.
Yep. There you go. Extend those legs. There we go. Lean it up just a little bit. Oh, okay.
All right. The wheel is free.
Uh-oh. Oh, you got ice bath.
Ah.
Oh.
Yikes.
Oh, my gosh. An ice bath.
That is what it says. It just barely eked over the fantasy sub. All right, so I got 3 minutes in an ice bath.
Oh my gosh.
I think I'm going to have to talk to my wife about this, whether I just do the I do have a bathtub at home in our townhouse.
Uh-huh.
So I could theoretically just do this at home. Like we get like a bag of ice from a gas station and fill it up and do it. The other way we could do this is we have occasionally gone to a cold tub place. And so if we want to go, and I typically do not stay in for 3 minutes, but I can just go to the cold tub place and be like, all right, we're in it for 3 minutes.
Oh,
so I will talk to Rachel to see whether we want to go for a cold tub, because there's also like a sauna situation. So do we want to go do that and do the full recovery day, but I have to stay in the ice bath longer for torture and on some level put it on video so you guys can see me suffer? Or do I just get a bag of ice and do it that way? But I'm good for it. 3 minutes in an ice bath. Ouch.
And look, more power to you, Craig.
I mean, there are no rules. I can do this after I do my long run and just try to make it feel good.
I mean, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, so I'll figure that out. It might happen on Saturday.
Oh,
might
my
go,
gosh.
Might go run 10 miles and then get an ice bath and convince myself that it's good for me.
Yep.
All right, that's the Wheel of Mediocre Punishment. Ice bath for your boy. Coming up next, we pick the next set of games. Three games against the spread, one head-to-head on tiebreaker grounds. That's next Competition Wednesday. Then we're back to Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels speaking on their Competition Wednesday ahead of this weekend's matchup with the Ravens. And our pick six coming up at 6 o'clock. It's Competition Wednesday on the Hoffman Show. Team 980 always live as well on the free Odyssey app. I've spun that Wheel of Mediocre Punishment for my loss in week four. Week five. Time to pick games for week six, Anthony. Are you ready? Three games apiece. We do not have to pick the same games. However, we do need to pick one that we agree on as a tiebreaker. So we do not discuss our games ahead of time. So let's see where we are going to go. You are on the tee first, if you will, as you are the reigning champion. That's a fine if we still did the fine system. I realize it was for effect, but come on. Can't be clearing our throat. People listening in earbuds right now, and you just cleared your throat in their ears.
Yes. I apologize.
I was about to say, is it just going to say okay, or are you going to apologize?
I apologize, guys.
Sorry, I'm salty right now because I lost.
First up, Craig, the team we just played, the Cleveland Browns, they are set to play against our divisional rival, the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think I'm going to take the Eagles. Minus 9.5.
Wow.
At home.
That is an enormous number.
The Eagles get back Devontae Smith. They get back A.J. Brown. They still have Saquon already. I think the Eagles are finally ready to, you know, silence the critics, go out there, put on a good performance against this Cleveland Browns team that has been horrible through 5 weeks of the NFL season.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I would pick. If I had to pick this game, I would probably pick Philadelphia as well. This line has moved. My guy Tony Squares and I, we have started doing something on YouTube on Mondays called our First Impression Selections, Anthony, where we, on Monday mornings, pick all of the games against the spread for the next week, even though the games just happened and we haven't even seen Monday Night Football yet. This was, when we did this on Monday, it was minus 8.5. So you're telling me, well, you got it at 9.5.
Sadly.
Yikes.
Sadly.
Yikes. All right, my first one is also going to be a pretty big number for a favorite to cover. This line hasn't moved at all since Monday, though. I'm going to take the Houston Texans minus 7 against the New England Patriots. Drake May is making his first ever start.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that he hasn't started a game yet is because they're scared about putting a rookie who does hold on to the ball a little bit behind a bad offensive line. Anthony, do you know who leads the NFL in pressures as an individual player?
Well, it was Myles Garrett, but maybe it's changed now. Maybe it's Danielle Hunter?
That is correct. Okay. It is Danielle Hunter. And the Texans are the number one pressure team in the league. So it seems like a bad week to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take the Houston Texans minus 7. Nico Collins' injury does scare me. It scares me more for them against not the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, Craig. That was one of my games.
You can still take it.
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick some different games.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Cross that one off. For my second game, Mr. Hoffman, I will be taking the Steelers on the road in Vegas.
Yep.
Minus 3. Part of it, they don't know who their quarterback is going to be, man. There's so much quarterback dysfunction.
Well, they do know now. Aiden O'Connell is going to be the starter.
Okay.
Thanks for paying attention and what's trending.
Had a lot going on over here.
That's fair.
But even if Aiden O'Connell is starting, I still think the Pittsburgh defense just presents too much of a problem for any quarterback. Whether it was going to be Gardner, if it was going to be Aiden, it didn't necessarily matter. I like this number, Pitt minus 3 on the road. They got to bounce back also. So
I'm going to see if I can find another game, but that was on my list as well. So I'm going to try to not double up as well for old time's sake here. But I do think that that probably is going to be me as well. This is bad because the line has moved and it was better on Monday, but I'm still going to do it. I think the Saints are in a bit of free fall. Spencer Rattler is going to play this weekend and he's going to have to face Todd Bowles' defense. I don't care that they're on the road. I am taking the Tampa Bay Bucks minus 3.5. That seems fairly easy to me. The Bucks offense, by the way, they're also plus 4 on the rest days. The Bucks coming off of Thursday night football, the Saints coming off of Monday night football. You saw what happened in the Giants Seahawks game because of that. So I'm going to take Tampa minus 3.5. With Spencer Rattler at quarterback and Baker Mayfield going in there and putting up some serious points on the Saints defense.
I love your games, Craig. First Houston, New England, now Tampa, New Orleans. I'm loving that. I'm torn, though. Actually, I got a good third game.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
I was looking at this one, too.
And it's a big number.
But you're taking Atlanta.
Atlanta minus 6 over the Carolina Panthers. I think their defense steps up to the plate. I think their offense also steps up to the plate. And I think this is the first game we really see Atlanta play some real complimentary football. And they blow these Wildcats out.
Yeah, I think that definitely was the side I was on as well. I'm not gonna pick that game. I'm not gonna pick the other one that you picked. I am gonna take a wacky here. I'm taking the Jags. They are 2.5-point dogs on the road, but they're on the road in London where they go all the time. They're going to have the home crowd. They know how to do the travel, and their opponent, the Chicago Bears, if I had to list 5 teams that I don't trust to get the logistics right of all that stuff, I would say the Chicago Bears are very, very high on my list. I know they played a lot better last week, but the Jags offense is starting to cook. The Bears defense is fantastic. I need to see it be fantastic. Again, okay, fine, but I also want to see the Bears offense do that, what they did last week against someone that's not the Carolina Panthers. I am taking Jacksonville plus 2.5. I would say the only way that you can talk me off of that is if you want to be on Chicago as the tiebreaker. If not, we can find another game.
I think I am going to go with Chicago, to be honest.
Do you want that to be the tiebreaker?
Sure. If you, what third game are you going to do then?
I would take. Do you have any of your wacky Colts AFC South stats about the Tennessee game?
I don't.
Okay, I'll take your boys.
You're taking the Colts?
Yeah, I'll take their, or let me see what they're favored by. They were just minus 1 on Monday.
Yeah, they're minus 1.5.
Why you got to give me an extra point? Extra half point. All right, I'll take them. I'll take the Colts minus 1.5, and then a tiebreaker is
Bears Jacksonville.
Is tiebreak CH on Jacksonville. All right.
Man, so, if the Bears win by 3, I'll win. I'm tripping.
Yeah, if Yeah. You need them to win by at least three.
Yeah.
If the Jags lose by a point, I will laugh. Because then I win. And I get to laugh at the Jags.
Yeah.
So the picks go something like this. I am on Indy -1.5, Houston -7. God, I hate not being on any underdogs. Houston -7. I already hate these picks. And Tampa -3.5.
I love your picks.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like this year in the NFL, I think that I'm trying to remember the number. I think 7+ point dogs are like 7-1 or 7-2, not against the spread, Anthony. They have won outright 7 of 9, I think, this year is the number. So that tells you that if that were to hold, which it probably won't, the Patriots would beat the Texans, not just covering the 7. They would win straight up. Mm. The Eagles, yo, you're 8.5-point favorites. You're 9.5-point favorites against the Browns. Congrats on losing.
You make some good points then.
Yeah. It's definitely a little scary.
Ah.
I hate taking all these favorites because they favorites don't cover. Don't like that's no. No, no, no.
Then you got me scared too.
Yeah. Well, we can both be scared all week. Your picks, Cleveland, Philly -9.5 against Cleveland. You have Pittsburgh -3 over Vegas, and then Atlanta -6. Over Carolina. Tiebreaker, I am on the Jags +2.5. Anthony -2.5 on Chicago as they face off in London.
Actually, the more and more I look at my picks, I love them, Craig. Let's go.
All right. Confident and cocky is where you get your ass kicked.
See you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday. See you at 6 o'clock for a pick 6-6. Hey, that's next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.